Today's gospel reading comes from Matthew chapter 9, beginning with the 35th verse through the 10th chapter, verse 8. And that's not as long as it sounds. That was for my husband. Anyway, hear the good news. Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies, healed their bruised and hurt lives. And when he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. What a huge harvest, he said to his disciples. How few are the workers. The prayer was no sooner prayed than it was answered. Jesus called the 12 of his followers to be his followers and sent them into the ripe fields. He gave them the power to kick out evil spirits, to tenderly care for the bruised and hurt lives. And the list of the 12 he sent were Simon, they call him Peter, or the Rock, Andrew, his brother, James, Zebedee's son, John, his brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the tax man, James of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who later would turn on them. And Jesus sent his 12 harvest hands out with this charge. And I want you to listen to this really closely, because it was also the welcome to the new week. Don't begin by traveling to a far-off place to convert unbelievers. And don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. Tell them that the kingdom is here. Bring health to the sick. Raise the dead. Touch the untouchables. Kick out the demons. You have been treated generously, so live generously. This is the good news of Jesus the Christ. Would you pray with me, please? Almighty God, I come to you now as your servant, asking that these words that I speak this morning would not be mine, but they would be yours. Asking, O God, that those who hear and receive these words would receive them not only in their minds and in their hearts, but deep in your souls, that place where only you and they go. Open our ears, O God, so that we might hear beyond tradition, that we might have a fresh understanding of what evangelism is the word I'm trying to say, God, is all about. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit, that I would do your will and not my own. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. I love this passage because for those of you who grew up in the church, you know that the one quote-unquote responsibility that you have is what? To go out into the world and save souls. Amen? You're supposed to go out and convert the sinner. And they're all supposed to be converted, what? To being followers of Jesus.
And if necessary, use words.
Well, that's okay, but that's not now. At any rate, that is what you were taught. That is what everybody's got on their head about Christianity. It's always about conversion, and it's always about how bad the world is that we live in. I am here this morning to tell you that we've had it wrong for a couple thousand years. And most especially today, when you've got all these folks out there saying that you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to believe this, and you got to believe that in order to be okay with God. Because Jesus is very clear with his disciples how this is going to go. I do not know how we got this twisted, but we seem to have managed to get it twisted. If the exegetical work on this particular phrase coming out of the Interpreter's One Volume Commentary says this passage might be called the Apostles' Mandate. The Apostles' Mandate. In other words, you know, if we're going to have a real conversation about this, this is a conversation between Jesus and his followers, his disciples. That he wasn't telling the crowd to do anything. I want you to hang on to that for a minute. And it's the apostles' mandate because it concentrates on the task to be done and the 12 whom Jesus has selected to undertake it. It also includes their initial instructions for the beginning of their work. However, there is a problem with this writing because we don't know whether it belongs to Matthew's idea of what the ministry was supposed to be about, or it was an actual remembered tradition. In other words, did Jesus actually do this? My guess is, folks, after all the reading and all the study, I think Jesus probably did give these instructions. But we, over the decades, have managed to mess up these instructions incredibly. And we've boiled it down. You know how, what is the old saying? People are like lightning. They want to take the path of least resistance. And so we've boiled Christianity down into converting sinners. That's the path of least resistance. Everybody's bad. Convert them to Jesus, and then everything is okay. Which is really, really bad theology, because it means, folks, if you think about it, you don't have to take any responsibility how you practice your faith. What do I mean by that? Well, what's Micah 6:8 say? You're supposed to be fair. You're supposed to be merciful. You're supposed to be humble in your relationship with God. How does Jesus, towards the end of the ministry, talk about how God sees and views things that are going on in this world? How God is going to make judgments? Well, the judgments are what? I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was sick and in prison, and you visited me. You see, when we get into this whole idea of evangelism and charismatic kind of Christianity that's to go out there and harvest the fields. You know, now that's the other thing, by the way. You know, when Jesus made that statement about, well, you know, the harvest is many. There's a lot out there, and the workers are few. It's got nothing to do with there's so many souls out there to be saved. Listen to how the passage reads again. He healed their bruised and hurt lives. And when he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke because they were so confused and aimless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. What a huge harvest. In other words, if you go down to downtown Atlanta and go down by Grady Hospital, where there's that big bridge for 75 and the connector going through town, and you look under that bridge, you could sit there and go, my God, how many homeless do we have? It's not about converting people to Christianity, folks. That harvest was huge because we have a huge need that is right here around us. The gospel begins with these words. I know, and this is a little different translation, but listen to it anyway. Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. I don't know what you're waiting for, but the kingdom is here. That's what Jesus was talking about, man. We're not talking about something that's going to come flying out of outer space. We have the ability of being in a relationship with God and the kingdom being right here, right now. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. He talks about the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. What it means is, folks, think about this, and you can only look in the mirror and do your own assessment. What are we doing to help those in need? What are we doing? Sometimes it's complicated, sometimes it's simple. I know at the beginning of the service today, during prayer and praise, we were talking about we are blessed here at General Spirit because we got a chef, amen? But that's a ministry for Dan. Dan takes care of the people that show up here, and there are some folks that show up to service here in the park, what, to get a meal a day. You know, and it's going to be here today. That is what this is about. That's why we need more workers. It's not about going out and telling people how bad they are. It's not about converting people to fall down and do this whole I love Jesus, I've been converted thing. It's about doing what Jesus asked us to do to begin with. And that's to look out into the world with the same compassion that he had. The same concern that he had. I would like to think most of us are particularly aware and the importance of compassion. If there is no compassion, folks, love withers and dies. And when the love withers and dies, we push ourselves away from our relationship with God. And, well, you know, all you got to do is take a look at the world that we're living in to understand that. Jesus sent his apostles out to do just that, to work with the same kind of compassion, to meet the need, to see what was needed by the people, whether it was healing, whether it was getting food, whether it was being uplifted, whatever the need was, the disciples were empowered to do that. Now, I mentioned the fact that he was talking to the disciples, and somehow or another, we got this all twisted. You know, we've turned this into missionaries. We've turned this into, we got to go into other countries where we don't think they're as good as us. Amen. Did I say that out loud? Yeah, I did. You know, that whole American arrogance. We're going to go to Africa and convert the Africans. We're going to go to the poor countries and we're going to convert them. Rather than looking out into those countries and seeing the abject poverty and having compassion and doing something about it. But I say that, and just as quickly we turn over the coin, and Jesus says, you know, you don't need to really do that. You can do this in your own backyard.
Plenty right here.
Amen. And again, I will raise that question. What are you doing? The fields are full. The need is great. What are you doing? Jesus also tells us that if somebody doesn't want to listen to you, don't worry about it. Just move on. Because you see, this is not, and listen to me closely here, and then I'll shut up. You get that people get carried away with their Christianity and they try to shove it down your throat and in your face and tell you how to behave. Listen, folks, this is not about coercion. This is not about control. It is not about winning approval. It is not about forcing a particular outcome. It is not about counting souls. It is about expressing the love of God that is unconditional and belongs to you because you are wonderfully and uniquely made in the image of God. It's what it's all about, for nothing more, nothing less. And yeah, that's why I said, titled today's sermon, Herding Cats. Because of all the controversy that we have around this passage, everybody's got their ideas and everybody thinks that it's all about God being mad at us. And therefore, we got to go out and convert the world to loving God. I'm here to tell you that's crap theology. What it is all about is that we live in a world that is in pain. We live in a world where people are hurting to know that they are lovable and acceptable. And if we are going to call ourselves followers of Christ, then it is up to us to take this mission exactly the way Jesus gave it to us. Don't worry about judgments. Don't worry about where people are coming from. Just be worried that they belong to God and therefore are worthy of your love. God bless you.